In Season with Sake. It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
Right, it is yet another episode of Business Made Simple with Bizval. Graeme, our lovely friend, the CEO and founder of Bizval, is back. Good morning, Graeme. How are you?
Good morning, Sake. We're doing fantastic. Having a bit of a party in the studio today with our guests, looking out, sangrias in hand, no jokes aside, but looking out over Muizenberg. And yeah, delighted to be here today.
It's lovely, always lovely to have you in the studio. And as you mentioned, we do have additional guests today. Would you like to briefly introduce them, Graeme?
Yeah, so absolutely. As we've previously chatted, we're going to be showcasing some interesting and successful local businesses during the course of the year.
Yeah.
So this morning, I'm delighted to be joined by the founders of Iridium Business Solutions, the Magna brothers, Simon and Peter. So I'm pretty sure we could have a whole show just on the biblical references and analogies in one sentence. You know, if you say Magna fast, it sounds like manger. The brothers, Simon and Peter, we're delighted to have them today. But Simon and Peter, welcome to the show. And would you quickly introduce yourselves?
Thank you, Graeme. Appreciate the kind intro. And I will concur, the view outside here is pretty awesome. I think this is probably the best spot in the building. I'm a chartered accountant by profession. Just over 10 years ago, I started a business called Iridium Business Solutions. And just after starting it, I chatted to my brother, who had also gone the same route as me, and he was looking for a job. And I said, why don't you join me and we can do this together? Mm-hmm. And 10 years later, we are running a successful accounting business in Cape Town and Pretoria. And we've got a team of just under 60 people who are supporting SMEs around the country. So that's pretty exciting.
Wow. Yeah, hey guys. My name is Peter, and I'm Simon's brother. Funnily enough, we actually also have a third brother who's named Philip, which adds to the biblical reference. Outside of running the business with Simon, I love to do running along the Muizenberg Beach and Muizenberg Promenade, and I've got a little 2-year-old and a beautiful wife. So that's me.
I suppose I should be putting in there that I've got two kids as well. I've got a 7 and a 10-year-old who both attend Kirstenhof Primary School, and my wife, Christy, who've been married. Actually, today is our anniversary. We've been married for 14 years, so that's been pretty awesome.
Beautiful.
Wow, fantastic. I'm glad you did the call out to her today. I'll see you in trouble. Well, thanks, gents. I mean, it's always great to showcase local homegrown businesses, and today we're going to be chatting just a little bit about your journey, some of the lessons along the way, you know, that helps and inspires other business owners. And, you know, as you say, you're also dealing with, you know, hundreds of other clients and businesses. So I'm sure there's lots of, you know, stories and learnings from those engagements. But I think let's start at the beginning. You know, you said you've been going for 10 years. So that's an anniversary of sorts. But why did you start Iridium in the first place?
Yeah, I suppose it's my question, Graeme, since I did start it. I don't think I had any grand plans or any big ideas initially. Often people are waiting for this moment of clarity about exactly what they're going to do. For me, it was more a case that I'd completed my traineeship. I was a qualified chartered accountant, just registered with SAICA. And I said to myself, what do I want to do? And I've always enjoyed running a business. I think I'm a practical person. I like to solve problems. And I'd studied for so long at UCT and getting my qualification, I thought, let me use that as a starting point. I don't know where I'm going to end. And my wife said to me, well, if you're quitting your day job that pays a salary, you better make sure this works, because we just got married. And she said, you better look after us. And if it doesn't work out, you're going to have to stop doing this and get a real job. And fortunately, a few years after we started, she said, okay, it's done enough. You can keep doing this. And I think that was a starting point. There was no grand plan. There was no big idea. It was just, let me use what's in front of me right now and do the best I can. Mm. And as we go along, we've kind of refined that vision a lot better. We know what we're aiming towards. We know why we're doing. We know what we're about. But that definitely wasn't the case on day one. And I think anyone else starting a business, don't think you need to have all your ducks in a row on day one.
Yeah, I think that's so important. You know, just get started. You know, you can theorize about the grand idea that's going to change the world for, you know, 20 years and never get going. And I think that's so important. I mean, maybe a question to Peter, since you joined a little bit later, and we'll come to that later in the show. But, You know, you said the business has evolved. Peter joined you. I mean, would you maybe just talk a little bit about the purpose of Iridium? So it started from, oh, I don't want to work for a boss. Let me start something. And that's evolved, and you've come into the business. So maybe you can just share a little bit about the purpose of Iridium and, you know, how that's evolved over the last few years.
Yeah, so, I mean, I joined pretty early on when it was still on Simon's dining room table. And I think together we realized that we love engaging with people, and we love helping businesses grow. Mm-hmm. And so when we thought about that, you know, everyone has goals of, I want to make X amounts of money. We kind of rejigged it, and we said, actually, we want to look at one of the biggest challenges in South Africa and say, how do we solve unemployment? And how do we contribute towards that? And we said, well, if we hire people, well, that's great. That ticks things. If we help businesses that hire people, and not just businesses that are in it for themselves, but ones that are, you know, retailers, manufacturers, businesses that are out there to grow their people workforce, well, if we help them continue to grow, we're also helping unemployment. Yeah. So kind of our purpose for our business is actually to help businesses thrive so that ultimately they're hiring and continuing in a sustainable way.
Yeah, I think that's so fantastic. It's not just about you, and it's that sort of multiplier effect. You know, you start with your circle of influence and you expand that outwards. So you have these sort of concentric circles that, you know, keep growing and having a bigger impact. I think, you know, we talk an accounting firm and everything's like a bunch of boring accountants. I mean, I've seen you guys having a bit of a party, so it's clearly not true. But, you know, there are many accounting and business advisory firms out there. You've spoken a bit about the purpose, Peter, but, I mean, what makes Iridium different? What are some of the things that you do in your culture, your people, how you engage your clients that makes you stand out from the crowd?
Sure. Let me step in with a couple there, and I suppose there are a few things. We always wanted to be people-focused. That's kind of been our starting point. You know, I think you explained that we're an accounting firm, but I like to think of us as a people firm. We just happen to be good at talking about numbers. Because we are people, we talk with people, and we like to have people in our team that are really good at communicating. And we never want someone to feel they're more important than anyone else. I think there's a lot of companies where they hire the most technically competent person they can find. And that person often isn't a great people person. They don't build people. They don't have character. And they're all about delivering rather than actually engaging with people and building people. Mm. So we've always told our team that no one's more important than anyone else. And we don't hire staff members, we hire team members, which work together. And if one person thinks they're more important than someone else, they probably won't be part of our team for a lot longer. So egos are definitely out the window. And I think there's a lot of toxic culture in South African business, the way people run things. It's not just about the bottom line. It's about the people and looking after people. One of the things we did a few years ago, and we've taken our lead from a lot of the tech firms around the world, is we said that there's this thing called sick leave. And sick leave is when you're sick, and you've got to be like really badly sick to take sick leave. And I remember when I was young and getting my first job, you know, everyone just said, hey, just pretend you're sick. No one will know, and you can take the day off. Mm. You know, and that's what the culture was like. You need to prove that you're really bad, and you need to go to a doctor, and the doctor's going to write a letter to say you're sick. And we said, that's just wrong, you know. So we rebranded our sick leave, and we called it wellness leave. And what that means is, if you need to take the day off just because life's tough, and, you know, and you need to just look after yourself and come right, you don't need to explain that. Mm-hmm. You just need to say, hey, guys, I'm taking tomorrow off as a wellness day, and I'll come back the next day. Wouldn't you rather have someone at 100% tomorrow rather than being at 30% today and just pushing through the day?
Yeah.
And I think we trust our team. We want our team to know that we trust them, we back them, mm-hmm. And we support them with what they're doing, because life throws you curveballs. You know, it can't always, you know, you can't always be on your A game. And that's kind of our culture. We trust our team, we back our team, and we want them to do well. And if they can leave us in a few years' time when they've kind of come to the next kind of part of their journey and they're in a better space, like, we are super happy that that's worked well for them.
Mm. That's really cool. I mean, I think, sorry to interrupt you, Peter, I mean, maybe you want to share just a bit about, you've spoken about your team and the importance of that, but, you know, maybe how you sort of excite and delight some of your clients. You know, what are some of the things that you do that in your client's eyes makes you seem different, you know? And it could just be small things. We were chatting the other day, so maybe you want to just share some of those anecdotes, Peter.
Yeah. I mean, I think, as you said, for us, it's all about people. So it's not just our team members, but also our, you know, the founders and clients that we have. Mm. So, you know, we try and find moments of magic for each of our clients. And, you know, starting point is actually picking up the phone when they sign a proposal and just welcoming them to our kind of community. When one of the directors or founders have a milestone in their business, we want to celebrate it with them. You know, go across with some, you know, wine, champagne, whatever we can think of that's unique and special for them. Mm-hmm. When they have a baby, we've got baby packs that we go and drop off that has a little Iridium t-shirt, some wet wipes, and a whole lot of little baby things. And it's not just scheduled ones. When we find something that we can celebrate, we want to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. And it's, we get our marketing team involved, the accounting team involved. We try and get them to go to the client and actually celebrate together. Mm. So for us, it's finding those moments of magic.
That's fantastic, you know, and I think it's unexpected and it's authentic. Yeah. You know, you're not doing it because it's a tick box that you need to do. I think it comes from a really good place, and I think clients recognize that and they see that, and they share the love with, you know, their teams and other clients. So, you know, it obviously also helps grow the business when you build that reputation, which is almost an unintended byproduct rather than, you know, the reason for doing it. We've spoken a bit about that. I mean, Simon, maybe you can talk a little bit about success. How do the two of you think about success? And you've touched on some of that, but not just in your business, but, you know, working with other business owners. What makes for a successful business?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It's probably a question not enough people ask themselves. And I actually chatted to a business owner yesterday. Maybe that'll give you a good kind of understanding. And I said to him, you know, what I might deem successful for you or success for you might not be what your definition of success is. Mm. And I said, it's not my place to tell you what success is. So before we start any relationship, I like you to tell me what you think success is. Sometimes it's an uncomfortable question for people to answer because they haven't thought about that. But I think it's so powerful, and even in our personal lives, you know, what is success for you? And if your definition is success as a business owner is to get to 2 million rand turnover and employ 5 people, you know, then my role is to help you get there. Mm. And I think it's really helpful for us that every business owner picks their kind of success markers, because if they put them down, we can go, well, you've told me what you want to get to. I can see what you're doing. And based on our experience of working with a few hundred customers, we know that's not going to get you there. So you're paying me to be a professional service provider. I'm seeing what you're doing. I don't think that's the right thing. And if you pay me to help you, I'm going to give you my opinion. Mm. You know, and I think that's one thing that we're not going to shy away from. If we don't agree with what someone's doing, you know, because we think they could do it better or differently, we're going to say, hey, that's not the right way to do it. This is what you should do. Mm. And if you don't want to listen to my opinion, that's okay, but you paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, we have a saying in our business. We say we tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
100%.
Because it's not about just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, and if they choose to listen or not, ultimately that's their choice, but you're absolutely right. So we spoke about success, and, you know, I think that's important, but I know the two of you are also incredibly passionate about making an impact in the community, and you touched on some of the things earlier about how you think about, you know, your team, for instance. Can you maybe share with us how you think about impact, and how does Iridium, you know, contribute to the community that they operate in?
Sure, that feels like a question for Peter.
I was going
to
say,
can I hand that off to the left?
I can see Simon doing the hospital pass to Peter.
Yeah, so I mean, how I look at it is, when a few years back, we were taking on any clients and every client we could think of because we needed revenue. We actually sat down and said, you know, if we look at the types of clients that we're working with, are they clients that we should be working with? Or, you know, is there a better way to achieve our vision and our goals? And so I think part of the impact is actually finding clients that are scaling sustainably and helping them do that. Mm. And scaling sustainably, we mean by actually taking on people. So that's one area. Then we looked at it and said, do we want to focus on South Africa, or do we want to just scattergun across the world and take on anyone? And we actually said we want to have a considerate effort of focusing on South African businesses because we've got a problem in South Africa of unemployment. Yeah. And so we actually started getting rid of some clients that didn't fit that model. Mm. And our vision statement talks about Africa. We're starting with South Africa, and if we can, in the next while, we'll branch out into Africa, but we realize that there's a lot of problems to solve here. Mm. So I think it's actually, often people think impact is, well, I'm doing a charity day at a specific nonprofit. I think you can actually have a significant impact by looking at the people, the businesses around in your community and going, well, let me help those scale well, mm. and giving them great business advice and honest advice. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, we're very much focusing on those people growing businesses, the e-commerces, the retailers, the manufacturers, the consultants, and that has a cascading effect around them as well. Yeah. So yeah. For us, impact is about having great accountants that we hire provide great services to business owners.
I think that's fantastic, and I know Simon wants to jump in there, but I mean, you know, maybe around your hiring and how you think about that, and you know, you place a heavy focus on training and development and hiring locals. Simon, maybe you just want to share a few thoughts around that.
Yeah, thanks, Graham. Just on the one point there, in terms of hiring people, you know, often when people leave your company and they move off and go somewhere else, you know, it's seen as a negative. You know, how can they leave me? They let us down. Mm. But, you know, when myself and Peter were reflecting on people who had been through our business in the past few years, you know, something that actually made both of us like really proud, you know, which is a strange thing to think of, that someone has left your firm, is we had three people who worked for a tech company in Cape Town, and all three were ex-employees of ours, and they were running the finance department. Mm. And it was kind of that moment like where you're like, hey, we did something right, because, yeah. You know, I'm not going to cry now. It's going to be good. But, yeah. it's a good moment because we were like, wow, these guys came through our process. They learned how to do things. They upskilled themselves. And they're now out there in a place where they're adding value to a large business. Mm. And they're looking after their families and they, you know, earning a good income. And it shows that what we did was actually valuable in their life journey. Mm. And that's really powerful. You know, so to Peter's point, we love working with SMEs to help them grow. We almost have a double-edged sword because we get to help people in our company to grow their personal journeys. Mm. You know, and if they're successful, they get to look after their families. Mm. So that, you know, ripple effect or knock-on effect is kind of felt on multiple fronts. Mm. You know, and I think one of the things we also said to ourselves is that the way that a lot of South African businesses work, we don't agree with. We don't think it's the right way to run a business, you know, ethically, morally, you know, fundamentally, you know, and there should be a bigger picture to doing it. It's not just about the bottom line. Mm. And if we can train great professionals in our business to go out there and impact the world, and we can help business owners to kind of hold up a mirror and say, this is how you should do things, and they have that knock-on effect to their friends, you know, that the potential of impact is so much bigger. Was it can't be us impacting, it's the people we engage with that are going to impact the world. Mm. You know, and that's really powerful. So that then it feels like, hey, this is something that feels like we're making a difference. You know, and, you know, just back to the hiring thing, you know, we realized there's a lot of young people coming out of university who got real potential, but often businesses don't have the patience to teach them and upskill them. Mm. You know, fortunately for us, you know, we both love technology and we've got the skill of being an accountant. And about 10, 15 years ago, the world of accounting started changing and there was a lot more tech coming into it. So a lot of more software companies coming out. A lot more app companies coming out, you know, companies like Amazon who can host all these software products online were coming out. The internet was getting quicker, although the last week or two has been quite painful. Apparently some sea cables broke in the last week and that's caused some challenges. Yeah. But all of those converging together have actually meant some days we end up being asked by clients to help for our tech skills. and we're actually implementing software products, and we're understanding how they integrate mm-hmm. and how the APIs are sharing data. And other days, people are asking us how to run a business. So it's actually a really, really cool convergence that accountants are becoming tech people. We work with so many tech companies. You know, myself and Peter probably spent the better part of 5 years understanding technology. Yeah. You know, and now we're trying to say, we've got professional skills that we spent years learning. Don't just pay me for being a techie. You know, because I could have learned that on the internet, but it's a really great space to be in. And I think our ability to upskill young professionals straight out of university who get technology, you know, and that generation has grown up with a computer around since they were young, I think that's a great opportunity to teach these young people and upskill them and then let them go out in the world and, do their best.
Yeah. I think that's important. I mean, just touching on the tech piece, I think it was Serge from Abalobi who had the concept of tech and touch, you know, and the tech enables you to do the boring work easily and quickly, which then allows your team and your staff to focus on relationships, you know, so the two actually go hand in hand. You know, you're not adding up manual ledgers and that 6 hours a day.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So we spoke a bit about expansion and impact, and you know, Iridium's been growing over the last year. I'd like you maybe just to touch a little bit on those growth plans. So you have spoken about focusing on South Africa. You were, you know, up until fairly recently a Cape Town or Western Cape only business. You have got clients around the country, but you've opened up a Pretoria office and a Joburg offshoot. Maybe just share some of those plans and how you thought about that growth and how. You know, clearly you're not on a plane every 2 weeks up until, every 2 days up until Joburg. How's that gone for you guys?
Yeah, so I mean, Sam and I like to ideate and strategize. Mm. I think that's our kind of top skill if you do like a strength finder. We realized in order to have a bigger impact, we actually needed to branch out from our Cape Town office and also realize that there's great businesses and great people around the country. And so for us, we actually spent probably close to 3 years ideating and looking around for the right person to start a Johannesburg-based branch of our company, and went through a number of different people. And for us, it's important to find the right fit, kind of right partner. Yeah. And, you know, towards the kind of end of 2022, we actually happened to find that person and a lady called Felicia, who's also a chartered accountant. And we kind of walked a journey with her and opened up our Pretoria office last year. And it's really grown. It's flourished. We're now, you know, from one person at the end of 2022, we're now at 11 people. Wow. And by kind of the start of next year, we're probably going to be closer to 16 people. We're busy hiring about 5 more people. So, you know, we've seen a massive growth in that space, and you know, just the team is doing incredibly well, and yeah, it's been a great experience. Jumping back to general growth, you know, when we reflect back on, you know, the ugly year of 2020, where everything went wrong for everyone, we were sitting at a team size of 17 people. And as we said, we're now at just under 60 people. So we had, you know, a number of years of relatively slow growth in terms of our team. And more recently, it's kind of done that hockey stick jump. So I think it's important to almost realize that for business owners, it's not going to just happen tomorrow. You put a lot of hard graft in, and you don't necessarily see the rewards. But if you just keep sticking it out, you know, it will come. And for us, it's been about just building, and putting the right foundations. You know, building out a leadership team, and through all that, you know, investment in building, now we're seeing the rewards.
Absolutely, it's about having those solid foundations in place, and you know, when the storms come or when the growth comes, it can sustain it. You know, so. So we've got a few minutes left, and hopefully time for two more questions. But I think we're going to dive into the question that's probably been on a lot of listeners' minds from the beginning. So we all hear the saying, don't mix business and family. The two of you clearly prove that wrong. And can you maybe just share, you know, how two brothers, I say, started a business together. Simon tells everyone he was there first, okay? So, and I'm sure it's been all plain sailing, not. Although, you know, you must have had some disagreements along the way. But how did you get involved in the business, Peter? And just maybe a bit of that journey about being in business with family. How's that been over the last few years?
Yeah, so I mean, Simon can take the founder status. I don't mind that. It's okay. I was the growth in the business. So,
well, you're the younger brother, so you have to tell that to your older brother.
Yeah. So we do have a 6-year age gap, and I think the first few years there was some challenges, I think when we realized what each of us were actually good at. And recognized that and accepted that, it got a hell of a lot better. But there was a lot of clashing. We both have strong personalities, and I'm sure the fact that we're also brothers, doesn't help. But I think partly because we're brothers and we have strong personalities, we hash things out. So we can have an argument, go home, chat to our wives, get frustrated. Come back and be like, okay, cool, we need to still deal with this thing. Yeah. But I think when you don't have a family member, you hash it out with a business partner, they're probably just going to get frustrated and it's going to continue. So I think for us, we've recognized what our strengths are, from my side, I love sales, I love marketing, and I've been able to push into that, and Simon's very much stuck in the finance, the HR side of things, and he's great at that. So I think it's recognizing what your strengths are, accepting that you're not good at everything, and realizing you're probably going to clash a bit.
Yeah.
But clashing with the right purpose in mind, having an argument because you want to have an argument doesn't solve anything.
Yeah.
But if you're arguing about how to grow something and how to take the business forward, that's a great argument to have. 100%. Because then you're... the argument's out there. It's not between you. And you can argue towards what the best strategy is. And I think initially we were kind of arguing against each other. Now we're arguing against how to solve the problem rather than how to be right.
I love that. I mean, do you agree, Simon?
No, I mean, I think Peter makes some fair points there. And I think one of the fundamentals that maybe underpins that without kind of adding too much, I think working with a brother, there's a level of trust. And when you're working with a business partner in running a business, often there's that, is he out there for himself? Was he out there for me? Like, I know Peter's not there to do anything behind my back. I know he's always there to support me. He's not there to make extra money or do extra things for himself. When you look at it and go, if he wasn't there, would it be the same? And my answer is no, it wouldn't. Actually, I enjoy working with my brother. I like to see him succeed. And then when he succeeds, I succeed because we work together. And I think that's quite rewarding. And it's been great to go on a journey over the last 10 years, because when you grow up, you live with your brother or your sister every day. When you go to university, you go your own ways. And I get to go every day and I see my brother every day. It's kind of like we're kids again. So that's quite cool. We're kids with bigger toys and bigger responsibilities, but I enjoy that. It's been really rewarding, and we've gone on a journey where, if we're honest, we've been really successful. Yeah. It's definitely not all up to us. I think we've been fortunate and we've been blessed in our journey, but I think it's been really it's amazing when you look at it in retrospect. We just went out there and said, let's try.
Awesome.
And we had nothing to start with. We've ended up in a position where we still think we've got a lot to learn and do, but it feels like we've made some progress over the last few years.
And you keep the competition for the Cape Cycle Tour now. Can't call it the Argus anymore. Sorry.
So Peter's still going to win that race, unfortunately. We have got equal numbers, though. This was my 12th this year. And Peter didn't ride this year because he got a bit of a bug, so he's at 12 as well, so we're equal.
I think we're just about out of time. I did have another question, and maybe you can answer it very quickly, Simon. A question a lot of people ask accounting firms is, how do I avoid paying tax? Okay, nobody likes taxes, the reality. But literally in 30 seconds, if somebody comes to you with that question, what is your response to them?
Yeah, and that's a pretty fair question I've heard many times before. I think it's the wrong framing of the question. You should be asking yourself, how can I manage my tax, and how can I pay what I need to pay but not pay what I don't need to pay, and how can I be upskilled and equipped to understand how to do things really well? Because where I really want you to invest your energy and time is growing your business and being successful, and the last thing you want to do is be looking over your shoulder worrying that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
So look forward, make a great plan. We had a plan with you and partner with you, and let's make your business successful so that in 10 years' time, you're not worrying about how to pay less tax, because normally that's because you're worried you're not making enough money. Mm. Let's make tons of money and be successful so that the small amount you've got to pay in tax is inconsequential in the bigger scheme of things.
And pay to Caesar what's due to Caesar, right?
That's it. Let's not run away. We're in a country. We've got to respect our leaders. We need to support this country and make it move forward. And we've got enough people that are trying to duck and dive. Let's not be one of them.
Sure. It's been really amazing to have you guys in studio. Simon, Peter, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your insights and experiences. But we do have to let you go. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very
much.
Okay. Thanks, awesome. Okay. And as always, Graham, it's been a pleasure to have you too.
Great.
We'll be back in 2 weeks, of course, with more Business Made Simple with BizVal.
It's Business Made Simple with BizVal, exclusively on In Season.